This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we dig further in Genesis, the book of beginnings, with in Egypt, family strife, the family divides, the promise renewed, and four kings against five. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Thank you. You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You shall do no wrong in judgment, in measures of length or weight or quantity. You shall have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, a just hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and you shall observe all my statutes and all my rules and do them. I am the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are still in a dungeon living with all of our fears and failings. A beautiful hymn that fits quite well with the text from Leviticus today, because the text, as we see, will remind us of our failings, that we fail in so many ways. And yet the text today, it holds us to a standard. The standard that we are to love God with all of our heart and all of our mind, with all of our strength, and we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. This, in essence, is the summary of Leviticus chapter 19. It begins with our requirement towards God and then transitions to a very long section about our requirement towards our neighbor. The section is filled with details on how both are to be lived out. The section dealing with the proper and loving treatment of the neighbor makes up most of the chapter, as do, of course, the commandments. God knew that we sinners would always try to find a way to justify our actions towards our neighbor. He knew that we would make our actions to appear right and good, but at the same time bend them to fit our own sinful desires. The section deals with care, caring for the poor. It deals with theft. It deals with properly paying your workers, caring for those with disabilities, and a warning against slander and hate. The section then goes on to warn against sexual sin, improperly caring for the elderly, and the proper measures to be used when making sales. This section is filled. It's filled with law. Law for the Israelites. And how would they live up to these precepts? You know the answer. They would fail. They would not only fail once, but repeatedly they would fail and fail again. By the time Jesus comes into this world, their sin had become institutionalized. Their sacrificial system had become a system of sin and exclusivity. The poor, they were mistreated. the priests and religious leaders, they were corrupted. By the time Jesus came, he would describe them as children of the devil. It was those who had received the very word of God through their prophets who now sought to kill their Lord because their evil had blinded them. And evil always blinds us. Evil people do not even recognize that they are evil. It is only by the gift of God that we recognize such things. Our ability to fall away from God and His Word, it has no bounds. You see, we're not too different from them. Sure, these precepts were given to the Israelites, but the foundation of them is passed down to us as well. Paul reminds us, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God has forgiven you. Today's text is clear. In summary, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourselves. The command is all about loving Jesus. Our neighbors are so important to God, so precious to God, that He would send His only Son to die for them and to die for you as well. Every time we fail to love that neighbor, we show that disregard for the cruel, mocking, and evil treatment that our Lord received upon that cross. Every time we fail to love our neighbor, we show just disregard for Jesus' entire ministry. We almost can't bear to hear such words, especially to think upon them and what that means to all of us. And yet, to avoid such a truth, we will attempt to always justify our actions. But today's reading, as law-centered as it is, it really doesn't give you any room to hide. It's clear. Leviticus 19 ends with this warning, "And you shall observe all of my statutes and all of my rules and do them. I am the Lord." There's no room for error. There's no room for failure in these words. You are to do them. Leaves us with a severe problem, doesn't it? Just like the Jewish leaders had a problem. The problem is our failure. Our failure to keep the law, to be sure, but also our failure to repent. The sin within us will always fail to keep God's command, but that does not give us the ability to ignore them, even because of our weakness. We are to live a life of repentance. Daily, moment by moment, many times. Our Lutheran confessions defined repentance in a twofold manner, you might remember. Sorrow over our sin, contrition, and faith. Faith in Jesus, whose death and resurrection brings our forgiveness. Therefore, to recognize our sins and feel contrition for them brings no eternal benefit on its own, nor did it bring any benefit to the Israelites. Although the law does serve as a curb to sin and our society, it does not promise anything but punishment for those who fail. James, writing on behalf of the Holy Spirit, says it this way: "For whoever keeps the whole law but falls in one point has become guilty of it all." And that's true of every one of us. Contrition brings no hope apart from Jesus, apart from faith. And therefore, Jesus entered into our stead and fulfilled the law for our benefit. Remember Jesus' warning: "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. Not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will from the law pass until it is all accomplished." And yet, Jesus has accomplished. He has set out to do what he would do. He has accomplished this through his active and passive obedience. Everything is fulfilled in Jesus. And that is why repentance is only possible with him. Yes, we are to keep the law. There is no way out of that statement. It is what it is. We attempt to do so, however, because of our love of God, he who has rescued us from sin and death. We do so because the law is good for our society. And when we fail, such failure must cause contrition within our hearts and our minds. And when we fail, we must look at the great love of Jesus, his death and his sufferings, his resurrection, his promise and his hope. And through this, repentance is granted, and we are covered in that alien righteousness of Jesus. God's word is so clear and concise: "You shall observe all of my statutes and all of my rules and do them. I am the Lord." Dear Lord, help us that we might always seek the right and follow your law. Bring us to repentance when we fail, and direct our eyes to you and to you alone. For you are our forgiveness and our life. You are our peace in this corrupted and sin-filled world, in these corrupted and sin-filled bodies. In Christ Jesus, you are set free from your terror and your sin, the world, and the devil. In Jesus, there is peace. Only in Jesus is there peace. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus our Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, cleanse us by the power of your redeeming blood, that in purity and peace we may worship and adore your holy name. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, by the patient suffering of your only begotten Son, you beat down the pride of the old enemy. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that our Lord has borne for our sake, that we may bear with patience all that is distressing to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.